7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.
Hey everybody, welcome to Shift and Steer. Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, oh, boy.
So it hasn't been that long, but we're recording early this week because everybody's got stuff happening for the weekend. So I know that Aaron's heading out to go do some overlanding. Matt and I got some projects
tomorrow
we're working on. And so we're early in the week. That means we're fresh. We're not wore out. We're not on a Friday. Or we're not sitting here going, okay,
I'm wore out.
Yeah, gotta go. Man, my car's idling in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So, I've been working long ass hours. I'm wore out.
Yeah. But before we get going.
My hands are wore out.
Those don't look like wore out hands. Where are your calluses, bro? Come on, man. Look at those are calluses. Oh, okay.
I got calluses over calluses.
I'll tell you what, guys. I was working on my mezzanine over the weekend, and each beam weighs so much. And I was like going, at the end of the day, I was like going, man, my stomach muscles are hurting. You know, it was like they were from lifting those things and up and down. And so,
my neck and shoulders and upper body last night, I went to the jacuzzi. I was like, damn.
Isn't it crazy? When we were younger, we could do all this stuff. Didn't bother us.
Yeah.
Now we feel it the next day. But what we're not going to feel is the pinch of insurance, because Matt's going to tell us about Geico.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, by the way, Matt.
Yeah. Wait. I'm gonna read this ad, but I just want to talk about whatever this outfit is that Aaron's wearing. He looks like Sweeney Todd, and he's about to chop up humans and eat people.
Sorry.
Make the
I have like my leather bib on. I'm welding and shit, man. I'm right in the middle of stuff. I just stopped what I was doing and came in here.
if you have some sort of butcher knife going on, I'm like, you're all in on the meat pie.
I got machete.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys about machete.
About Geico. You guys can own your home or rent your home, and you guys, either way, you know it's gonna be a lot of work, but you know what's easy? That's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
That sounds easy, man.
I should tell you guys about our friends over at McGuire's as well. And I'm excited about this because we've edited the copy.
Yay! Nice!
You know, over the last few years, McGuire's has launched the next generation of protective products specifically geared toward us, the DIYers. They have their new hybrid ceramic line of products, their hybrid ceramic spray wax. This is the one in the bright blue bottle. It's got their advanced SiO2 hybrid technology that delivers ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. They also have their hybrid ceramic liquid wax. This is the long-lasting ceramic protection, but in an easy-to-use liquid wax. One of our favorites here is the hybrid ceramic spray detailer, perfect for boosting that shine in between full wax jobs. It removes dust, fingerprints, bird droppings, pretty much anything. And it's just a great, easy way to freshen up the paint. And of course, their new product is their hybrid ceramic wash and wax. This is the one in a bright orange bottle. It's a unique two liquid system. You blend them together in one bucket. It washes and protects all at once. So McGuire's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. It's ceramic made easy. It's McGuire's.
Shift and Steer
racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt D'Andrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, let's get rolling. The very first thing, this is just off the cuff. Matt, do you subscribe to Hemmings Motor News? And what I mean is they're online where you get their daily little newsletter.
I do get it in my email.
Because today, as we are recording this show, mine this morning had something that would be of interest to you. And
oh,
it's,
I didn't see it yet.
Good for the show because it's the history of the Ford Lightning. And they've got all the older models and some interesting facts and figures on there. So if you're into those trucks like Matt is, they are right there. And we're going to talk about in this episode about the new Ford Lightning. So hold your pants on because we're going to be talking
about another Ford facelift.
Well, first of all, we knew Ford was going to come out with an all electric F-150, right? They have their regular ones. They have the hybrid. The hybrid actually very good, especially with the onboard generator, that the engine will charge the battery and you can power all sorts of tools. You could have a 110 or a 220 outlet, like all kinds of great stuff with the hybrid. But they always talked about doing a pure play EV for the F-150, but you can't be an F-150 and just be sort of a gimmick truck in the EV world, you know, especially with Ford. So, you know, Ford has said that, that it will have dual electric motors and it will produce more horsepower and torque than any existing F-150. And it'll have the quickest acceleration, which means faster acceleration than any previous Lightning, any previous F-150. So that's intriguing.
Did they hire Elon Musk to do the promo on this?
They did not. They didn't throw anything at the truck. They didn't break anything.
Does their truck swim?
It's going to debut May 19th. There's going to be a big virtual debut on Ford's Facebook page. I think Twitter, Instagram, check their social media. But they did a great little teaser with a bunch of old trucks, F-150s and stuff in there. But they are saying, look, just because it's all electric doesn't mean it's not an F-150. They said, expect it to have good range, expect it to tow significant weight, to haul significant amount of weight. Again, onboard generator now. It has a frunk. It's going to have the front storage space, probably something under the bed as well, because without the conventional drivetrain, there's a lot we can do.
That'll be a huge frunk.
With that. Yeah. It would be actually massive if you think about it. You know,
those bodies that Aaron's chopping up, he could fit them all in there.
Yeah. So May 19th is going to be the debut. We'll get some more specs, but I think it'll be interesting because I think we might be able to see a sporty version, a sport truck version. We have Tremor. We have a Raptor. We have Raptor R coming out soon. We don't necessarily need an all-electric off-road F-150, right? They've got that covered. But to do a sport truck version, I doubt we're going to see a short bed single cab. Although that would be cool to get like a high horsepower, dual motor, all-wheel drive, long range, high performance, short bed, single cab. When I say single cab, I mean a little bit of room so you can lean the seat back and not like my truck where you have to sit up so straight all the time. But just another couple of, you know, 3 inches, 2 inches of additional room would be good. But it would be kind of cool to see, go, hey, look, here's an all electric F-150. Here's a new Lightning. It has, let's say, 300 mile range, does 0-60 in 3.5 seconds and tows, you know, 8,000 pounds.
Well, thanks, Matt, because I said later in the show, we're going to talk about the Lightning, but you just threw it all out the window, man.
I just did.
Right in there. You just dove forward head first, didn't you?
So I'm done. So I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Nice show.
Okay. Right. I want to tell you guys something. I'm throwing this at you right now. I just want you to know, in case you didn't know this already, muscle cars are back.
Are they?
Okay. No.
I am not a big fan of muscle cars.
I had a realization. I'm over it. This week.
I am over it.
I had a realization this week. Let's go back. 2005, Ford brings back the Mustang. They give it a retro body style, really brought it back. The previous body style was just kind of, you know, warmed over too many times. Then in 06 comes the Charger. Then in 08, the Challenger. And finally in 09, Chevy came from behind with the Camaro. So we knew that the muscle car wars were back. But you know when I decided this week muscle cars are really, truly back? Is I went over to the factory, and at one stoplight by my office, a guy pulled up behind me. I look at my rearview mirror, and there's an SRT Challenger with headlights wired in and no front bumper, no grill, no anything. And he had cut through. You could see he was hanging a cooler.
Big intercooler.
Yeah, an intercooler, after cooler, whatever he was doing. And then when I got off the freeway over by the factory, a guy pulls up next to me in a Charger. It's black, but the whole front sheet metal was blue. Like you went to the junkyard and, you know, had to cheat. And what I'm getting at is I remember in high school and college, that is what you saw with real muscle cars. You know, back before they were going across the stages for, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars, you saw them in every state of disrepair, state of a blue fender on a red car, or because they had to fix it. And that's where they've gotten to now, is that they've been out long enough that now guys are truly hot rodding them, or they're their daily hot rod, and I got to run down to pick up a fender that I found on Craigslist, or a fender that I found because they had a little fender bender, or maybe they were trying to drift and they messed something up. And it's just so muscle car, because now we haven't seen any with hijacker shocks in the back and, tires sticking out yet. But that's in Southern Cal, guys. Think about America. I mean, if we go to Detroit the next time and I see some Challengers and Mustangs like that with the big rotted out rusty quarter panels, I'll know. We are there.
Well, of course, Roadkill made fun of that, of course, when they did their General Mayhem car. They had the old Challenger or Charger, I think, and then the new one that they literally put like the blue fender and some rusted paint and the whole thing to make. I mean, it was a fun project for them, but that's them kind of making fun of the whole thing.
But that's what it is, because we
of the movement.
Yeah, right.
Well, we get so wrapped up into, hey, I've got my daily driver, but then I've got my Fox body sitting behind me, or Aaron, he's got his daily driver, but then he's got his, his Land Rover or his, rat rod or whatever. And I've got my, my muscle cars, and I got my daily drivers. Yeah. And the thing is that we're seeing a time again where guys have cars that they work on during the weekend, but they got to drive all week. And it's those Challengers, Camaros, and Mustangs, those late model ones. I remember when I drove my 67 Chevelle as my daily driver, and I put those 4-inch wide Krager SSs on the front with the little skinny tires. And I was getting off the freeway one day, and I drove it on the freeway like that with 488 gears. And I was getting off the freeway, and I hit a chuck hole. Tire went, rim went, and I went into the cable guardrail, took out the front fender, the front bumper, and scraped the hood a little bit. So for about 6 months, I drove around in a bright orange 67 Chevelle with a blue fender and a black primered hood. And, back then I could just go to the junkyard and get a new front bumper. But I mean, that's what it was. You're on a limited budget. You don't have anything else to drive. And That's cool. I like it. I think it's, you know, it's like, think if Matt only had one car. He would be walking or skateboarding everywhere.
It would still be all red, but it would have, you know, a temporary supercharger bracket and a couple of temporary hoses and
and a temporary supercharger.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Look at that.
Speaking of badass muscle cars, I forgot to tell you guys, I saw a SRT Hellcat red eye wide body Dodge Charger. I had to look it up because it's the other body style. black on black on black, and it was black with satin black graphics. And it drove up next to us, and I'm like, what's the red eye? Oh, red eye. Oh, yeah, we talked about that on the show. First time I'd seen one in person. I got to say, I'm not a huge fan of the Charger, but it looked pretty badass. It was bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
And when he took off, and he was sitting next to us, you know, and we're in the Macan, and then he took off, Magnaflow clearly. And, it sounded good, but the thing was faster than shit. And it was, you know, sat real low and it looked good. And then of course I turned my wife and went, you should have got a picture of it for the show. She was like,
The wide bodies look pretty good. We were out to Springfest a couple of years ago and they were debuting the wide body Charger. they were looking pretty good. Listen, I'll tell you, I give Dodge credit. Like the Challenger and the Charger, they're all a little long in the tooth, but that engine is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it just everything they put that engine in just turns into a beast of a vehicle. Even that Durango that I was driving with the Hellcat engine, and they're just scratching the surface. I was doing a podcast earlier this week with Goldberg, and he's got these power packages, his Goldberg Garage power packages for the Hellcat engines. And he sent over his Dodge Challenger Red Eye. It's a wide body Red Eye. Brad, you saw this debut at Springfest. It was triple nickel, but with the satin hood and the satin trunk. It's actually a really good color. It's a great kind of silver nickel color. You know, these engines are 710 horsepower rated at the factory. I think they come in at like 590 something at the tires. They just did a stage two upgrade on his car. 93 octane in Florida, basically a tune, a pulley, cold air package, didn't dig into the motor, didn't dig into the supercharger, put down 967 at the tires on a dyno.
Whoa. Jeez.
Yeah, 967 at the tires on the good pump gas. And they're going to do a E85 tune for it as well.
Jeez. Now, real quick, is the Red Eye a Hellcat or a Demon?
The Red Eye, so they're all Hellcats with that engine, the supercharged engine. And then the Demon was a particular model, and the Red Eye is a model. So you can get a Dodge Challenger Hellcat.
Right.
You can get a Demon, which is a higher horsepower drag race version.
Oh, okay.
And then the Red Eye was the high horsepower, like street track version, not drag race version. Because people kept saying, hey, the Demon's great. And with the red key, so a Hellcat is 710 horsepower. The Demon was 840 horsepower with the red key in drag trim. And then the Red Eye was 797 horsepower, I believe, but with wide body and the big tires all the way around.
Got it. All right. Yeah, that's
more
definitely
of a handling machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Now, what was that big supercharger you just showed us? What the hell was that for?
So on the video here, I just lifted up a big supercharger. You guys know I've been working on the brackets and all the, you know, all the stuff I'm doing for the truck and the Mustang, developing the supercharger bracket. So I reached out to ProCharger and said, I've got this idea for a supercharger. I custom made the balancer, the damper with a pulley on it. I want to reverse it. And I said, can you guys send me something to mock up with? And what they sent was like the shell of a very used supercharger that I can use as a mock-up. So it's a little lighter and a little bit easier to futz around with. I don't have to worry about powder coating and all that stuff. It does have a shaft in it, so I can swap out blower pulleys to get it to fit. So they sent me a box with a supercharger, a couple different pulleys to try, a couple different belt tensioners.
Oh, yeah.
And I can mock everything up. And then once I figure out what I want, I send it back to them. But I can take that supercharger case apart and I can clock it at different angles, right? Because I want the inlet and the outlet of the superchargers to face a certain way, but there's three plugs on the body of the supercharger. And one of those plugs needs to be an oil drain. So when you clock it, you have to clock it to at least one of the three plugs basically facing down. So you get sort of like three options to do it. And it's reverse rotation. So instead of the pulley facing the radiator in the engine compartment, mine's facing the firewall. So I'm doing a reverse rotation, like 2 o'clock clocked.
Jeez.
Charger.
Gives you, does that give you a little bit more area that you needed, a little more clearance?
Actually, I held it up in place of where I think I want it to go. And it looks like it's going to work out really well.
Cool.
I was going to say, I have one almost that big. But it's yellow and it says Caterpillar on it. I knew someone gave you this massive turbo. It's probably 14 inches in diameter and it's just ginormous.
You know, these centrifugal superchargers are basically like belt driven turbos.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Do
they have lag like a turbo or are they kind of instant like a supercharger?
It's not as instant as a twin screw supercharger like you'd find on the new Hellcats or the GT500. So it does have a little bit of ramping up, but you can often adjust pulley size to get, you know, to figure that out. You can tweak it like you do a turbo. But a lot of guys do like them for the streets and for drag racing because it doesn't hit as hard at the low RPM. You know, you can get rolling a little bit and then get into it. But
when they come on hard, I had a Vortec on my 5 Mustang, and man, that just came on hard when it comes on. You know,
well, you both rode with me in my BMW, my E46. Yeah. That had a Vortec on it.
Mm-hmm.
It winds quick. It was just vroom quick, but you do feel it, that supercharger kick in. You know, you.
I love that.
When it starts making some boosts.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it'll work. I'll get some more photos as I mock it up. But
hey, back to the Challengers for a minute. While we were talking, I looked up some interesting facts. Because if you're like me, do you feel like you see those cars everywhere you go?
Well, the Charger for sure. And the Charger outsells the Challenger like 2 or 3 to 1.
Right. And so I looked up the Challenger. And just out of curiosity, so in 69 and 70, the 69-70 model year is the biggest sales year ever for the Challenger. They sold 76,925 cars that year. Now, we're just talking across the board. That could have been a six-cylinder to a Hemi.
Yeah. But
sales fell to 26,299 units in 71. 22,919 for 72. Now you go to the late model cars.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what'd they sell in 18, 19?
Yeah. 08 was the lowest year at 17,400 units. But we start getting in to like 2015, 66,000 plus units. 16, 64, almost 65,000 units. 17, 65,000 units. 18, 67,000 units. I'm rounding up, by the way. So they are selling a ton of those cars. That has been such a good seller because you think about that's just the Challenger. Then you have the Charger. And you know, it just goes from there. Those are really good sellers for that brand.
I got to say, I like the Challenger better. I'm looking at a wide body Challenger in that matte green, you know, or that satin green.
Yeah, that F8 green.
Yeah, with that beautiful kind of camel interior.
Yeah,
I would totally buy one of those.
That Charger,
yeah, it's totally a big car.
That Charger's for the dad who wants the performance car, but he's got to have a four-door to put all the kids in and the dog and everything like that.
I mentioned it with Goldberg because he does the commercials, but yeah, he has a couple of Challengers, but his daily driver for that reason, Brad, was the Charger. You know, he takes his kid to school and to football practice and baseball practice and picks up his friends and all their gear, but now he's got a TRX, so that's his daily driver.
Yeah, so he just puts kids in the back because he's in Texas. They can ride in the bed and with some hay bales. Yeah. Good.
Well, listen, this is the year where Gage Goldberg, his son, gets to be a good boy because his birthday was a couple days ago. He turned 15.
Oh.
And on his 15th, on his 15th birthday, his dad took him to the Ford dealer to place an order for a new Bronco for his 16th birthday.
Oh, man. And, that's awesome.
So he got to sit there and order up his brand new full size Bronco, not the Bronco Sport.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Bill today was like, I got to put a rev limiter. I got to do something. I don't know. I was like, he's a good kid. He's the best kid ever. But yeah, that's a nice.
God, I can't believe his kids are old enough to drive already. God.
I mean, it's funny because Aaron, your kids are already growing up. They've been driving for a while. They're done with
school. Yeah, Finn's the youngest. He's 19. Yeah,
where Adam Carolla's kids, he's been teaching them to drive. They're 15 now, I guess, and about that. And yeah, he's been taking them out and teaching them to drive. And, you know, so now when they want to pick up their friends, they're like, hey, you know, can I drive while we go on the way there? And
yeah.
A lot of that. Yeah. I'm just happy that they want to drive, you know, otherwise they're like, forget it. I'll drive when I'm 22 or I'll Uber everywhere.
People that have kids like that, I don't need a license. I'm like, what?
Finn was eager to drive, right?
Yeah, he was really good to drive, but he was living with his mom at the time. And I think he got a late start, as did Sabina. But, Finn's actually a really good driver. And in fact, when we were on the rally, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but when I was on the rally and he joined me for a couple of days, it was nice because several of the drivers were like, cool, Finn, you're driving my car. I'm going to have wine with lunch. And so Finn drove,
Ferraris, Lamborghinis.
He drove a Lamborghini Gallardo for, you know, half an hour.
And
he drove
designated driver you want to be. Man.
Yeah. It's like, that's my childhood, man. See, that's why I never drank and did anything. Cause that was my childhood. Yeah. So Finn's following in the footsteps, a little different reason, you know, not daddy, but daddy's friends. So, and then he drove a 488 Ferrari for about an hour and a half. Cause we were pretty far out on the rally still. And, he's still over the moon about the 488. Every day he's going, did you know that, you know, and he adds another factoid on top of, you know, yesterday's, and he's playing on the simulator again, which he hasn't done in quite a long time. So, he's, I hear it in there going, you know, he's reliving it.
I could just imagine, Finn driving the 488 for an hour and a half. Yeah. And the owner sitting next to him get out of the car and go, man, that kid talks a lot. I had wine for lunch. I just wanted a nap, but he was shut up the whole time. He had so many questions about the car.
No, Finn didn't. Our buddy Steve was actually really surprised. He's like, man, Finn knew his way around that car. He goes, you know, I don't know where he's been, but he knew his way around the car. I said, he's a gamer. And I said, those games, those simulators are pretty accurate. So he kind of knows where everything is. He just hasn't felt
it for
real. Up
to the point you hit the guardrail and then it doesn't reset.
Yeah, it doesn't reset. No.
I mean, Steve, it feels different when you hit the rail in real life.
Yeah.
Steve kept saying, I kept telling him, step on it, go, you know, drive it. And Finn's like, okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, he's a good driver. I got to say, but I was always worried about that with the gamers. It's like, would they have that sense of speed and actually know that, you know, you can't go that fast and life doesn't reset? You know, it's like how much is embedded and programmed in, you know? I don't know. But yeah, he seems to be good so far.
Cool.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
So with all these muscle cars, what the hell's going on with gas prices?
Well, they're having big problems on the East Coast. Now they know what we get all the time. I love how I turn on the news and they go, gas is up over $3 a gallon. And I'm like,
yeah, it's almost $5 here in Tahoe.
No kidding. On the
weekend. Yeah, it's so I bet in you guys in LA, it's even more. I go to Nevada.
We're about
to just go across the street to Nevada.
We're 20 a gallon, I think.
Yeah, we're in the fours.
Yeah. On the weekends, we're in the 450 a gallon. Yeah, it's a lot. Even diesel. Diesel's almost premium right now. So I go down the hill to Carson and Nevada and pay a buck something less at least. So
there's have you guys ever used this Get Upside app? And this isn't an ad. They're not a paid advertiser. Uh-huh. It's you're driving down the street, you need gas. It's an app. You hit it. And it'll say, oh, here's, you know, a station near you. You pull in and you get like, you know, it's whatever they've done. I've got anywhere from, you know, some of them are 4 cents a gallon, but, you know, a lot of them are 10 to 15 cents a gallon off. And you don't do anything other than use the app. You check in when you get there, you pump your gas, and you get money back. And then, like, I'm looking at mine right now. I'm not looking right now. And you get, like, I've already gotten, you know, a couple hundred bucks back. It takes a little bit of the sting off. It doesn't cost anything. And what's good about it is they're usually stations that aren't the most expensive stations. You know, I thought at first it was going to be one of those where, oh, well, yeah, it's the station that's got their prices all raised. No, they're usually pretty good stations. So you should check it out. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool little app.
What's the app again?
Get Upside. And they're trying to do it with grocery stores and stuff in the future. But and if you use the code Brad Fanshut, no, I'm just kidding. It's But if you do sign up for it, Aaron, go search for a code, because there's some codes out there where the very first fill up is like you get like 50 or 60 cents off a gallon.
Oh, yeah. Far off. I've always used Gas Buddy, which is starting to do that, too. And then there's all these other apps. I tried to log into one and get it, but it wasn't working. I forget what it is, but there's one that just does everything, whether you're in a grocery store, whether you're in a gas station or a restaurant. It looks for discounts. But I couldn't get it to work on my Mac. So,
apps rule the world. The quality of gas is a subject we should talk about at some point on a future show. It seemed a little more relevant back in the day than it is now. You would go into an Arco or a Costco gas and you often run away with a bad tank of gas, but it seems like everyone's got like the highest tier kind of thing. I even looked into it a couple of years back because I do have a Costco near me, and when they built it, I got some terrible gas from that place. So I avoided it for like 5 or 6 years. And then I started to give it another try, but I started looking it up and I found like a whole article in an interview with a guy who was like, he's like, oh, I've been at Costco for 2 years now. I was hired to be like the new VP of Costco fuel.
I'm the VP
nationwide. Nationwide. And he said, the first thing I wanted to do was get us to that whatever tier one gas. Like we're now the same gas that every good gas station has. So he goes, so, you know, he made a pretty good interview, pretty good argument about why you could go to Costco and still get a decent tank of of fuel now and not have to worry about it. And honestly, I've been doing it a lot and in the press cars and everything for a few years now and haven't had an issue with it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I only get the 91 octane.
You need to wait in that line for the little bit that they knock off a gallon.
Yeah. Well,
it's always so long. It's like ridiculous, man.
There are some long lines. And the Costco is, I'm 2 miles, my warehouse is 2 miles from where I live, and it's basically right in the middle. So I pass it all the time, a few times a day, and I can just kind of peek over and figure out what times are a good time to get in. If there's a few people in line, it actually goes pretty quick because it's two cars at a time, not one car at a time. And I only get the 91 octane because of, especially of all the cars that we test, everything that we test, I at least want to get it tested with the 91 octane for the best performance out of it. Right. So we can come back and go, hey, you know, this thing felt a little slow because I don't want the fuel to be an issue. So, I haven't had a problem.
You'll put Arco regular in the Lamborghinis and the Ferraris.
I
come on, man.
I do not on purpose. That's for sure.
So yeah. I have to say, you know, most of my cars are old, so I don't notice too much gas issues. What are you noticing in the difference with some good gas or some bad gas?
Well, on my older car, like on my Mustang, like my 65 Mustang, a bad tank of gas and that thing barely ran, right? Like it was sputtering and ran like shit. But the thing these days with a lot of new cars is the car companies wanted to get away from having that gas cap that says premium only, right? They wanted to get away from that. So with the electronics we have and the knock sensors and all the good stuff that we put into a new engine, instead of saying premium only because you want the best performance, they say run whatever fuel you want, whatever octane you want. Just know the computer is going to back out some timing and save your engine and reduce a little horsepower. An example is, this actually just came up recently, was Ford announced the final horsepower and fuel economy figures for the new Bronco that we already mentioned. And I mean, the short answer is the 2.3 liter turbo four cylinder is 300 horsepower. I think it's 323. So it's 300 horsepower, 323 pound feet of torque. The six cylinder turbo is 330 horsepower, but 415 pound feet of torque. But if you put 87 octane in it, the 300 horsepower four cylinder goes to 275 horsepower, and the 330 horsepower V6 goes to 315 horsepower. Doesn't mean it runs badly. It just means they pull out some timing.
That's mechanic. They're your mechanic that would have adjusted your timing and changed your spark plugs and like that way back in the day. But like as a good example, my 86 560 SEC Mercedes that I have, that thing, if you don't run premium fuel in it, the fuel injectors and everything, they don't like it. They don't like it at all. It's got to have that. And that's what you said, Matt. When you open up the fuel door, it says premium fuel only, you know, and
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. It says that in the Porsches too. And because the Macan's turbo, I always just run premium and I go to, you know, Chevron or something and pay up the nose. But like the diesel, you know, they're clackety anyway. I just run down the hill to Carson and buy the, the dinosaur, you know, the diesel down there. We haven't been to Arco's in a while. I think there's one in Vegas by the hotel that we'll stop in when we're at SEMA, and hit Arco. But generally, you know, I'm driving an old car. Things run rich up here anyway. So I'll use like the mid grade instead of the high grade, unless it's a turbo car, like on the Mini or on the Macan. I've always known it was an issue, but I have to admit, all these years driving, my cars just spit and sputter and run rich and stall. And I mean, it's just, I got rat rods.
It matter sled. Anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter,
you know,
anyway.
Like I notice it and they sit, you know, so yeah. Fuel gets funky.
That's the worst
sits.
Fuel out here.
So I'm just used to some shitty fuel. Unless I go to the racetrack and put some high octane race fuel in there and just run like a bat out of hell and go, oh, that's what throttle response feels like. Yeah, everything just kind of runs. You know, I'm just kind of used to it. So I'm kind of sitting here scratching my head going, wow, do I actually know the difference? I know the difference car to car, but not fuel to those cars.
Yeah.
And I remember back in the day driving my El Camino as my daily drive with a big block in it. And you know, didn't have any money, so I'd pull in, and you'd go, you'd put premium in, and then you'd go, okay, stop. And then you'd redo the pump, and you'd put regular in the rest
of
it.
Oh, yeah.
You'd like mix it.
Do the mix.
It's got to be better than just regular, you know. And,
yeah. Well, the thing is if I'm tuning a carb on a car or something, you know, I got a new old car or something, and we're going to tune the carb, I always put the good gas in it, you know, because we're going to tune it, you know, to the premium. But I do that out of habit, but I got to say again, I can't say I've noticed the difference.
Well, if you're maxing out the timing and you're doing the timing yourself, you will notice the difference.
Yeah.
If you go downgrade, if you upgrade, you won't notice the difference. But, you know, if you tune that thing to the limit on 93 octane or 91 and you start dumping some 87 in there.
Right.
Under a load, you might notice a difference. And especially, you know, let's say you're leaving Tahoe and it's cool out, and then you get to the, you know, Vegas and it's hot out, that heat compounded with your advanced timing, you're probably going to start to notice the difference, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Like the little Mini Cooper, you know, that's race gas only. And up here at altitude, I can go down to 100 octane. So I do, you know, but then if I'm going to take it down the hill and run it on the flatland, you know, the autocross or something, that I have to bump it up. So I don't keep a lot of gas in it, and I try to run it out before I go down the hill. But you definitely notice it in that car. But then again, I notice if I got a bag of groceries in that car, because it accelerates slower with a bag of groceries in the car. So, you know, I wear the light shoes and dehydrate myself for a couple days.
I was just going to say, see you on a track day going, all right, I'm about to head out. Let me hit the bathroom first.
Yeah. Take 20 pounds out of the situation. Yeah definitely.
You know, and then ethanol is a whole nother topic, right?
Yeah.
And I remember having conversations with Leno about ethanol, and it's one of the things that gets him fired up. He's got many, you know, obviously his collection is just fantastic. But the old fuel lines in all of those cars, ethanol just eats that shit up.
Yeah, I have that problem.
He's just
too.
Like, every few years, I got to change all the fuel lines and everything. It's just gets fired up.
And
I
it's
get
true.
It.
Every few years, like on each car.
Yeah.
I'm running into that now too, especially on the motorcycles. I'm getting into the second and third year now, and I'm noticing I fire them up and they freaking leak. It is. It pisses you off, man.
That stuff is just it just destroys everything. Hey, speaking of, I guess we've rounded up to the top of the hour, and we didn't even talk about some of our stuff, but we had a good time. We had fun. And
that's it.
Aaron wants to hit the road. He wants to get back out and throw the bodies up.
I got
to
drill more holes.
And Matt, where can they find us online?
They can find us at shiftandsteer.com. Last time I checked.
What? It's still there.
Shiftandsteer.com?
Not to mention, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. We appreciate that. Helps us out a bunch. And you can find me at Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram. And guys, where can they find you?
I'm under a car most days, but you can also find me at AaronHagar.com. At TheRotResGarage.com and Aaron Hagar on online everywhere else. I don't know. I got nuts and bolts on the brain today.
There you go.
Maddie, how about you?
Yeah, follow me at Motorator and that's it. Hey, I'm going to head out to the Shelby Museum in Colorado.
You
guys been there? Have you seen
that
place?
I bet that's cool.
I've seen it, but I haven't been there yet.
Yeah. Well, they have like the premium collection of Shelby vehicles, like all the Le Mans winning cars and stuff. And so I'm going to go out there and check that out. I've got to go out there for a quick business trip, but I hit him up and I was like, what are you guys doing Saturday morning at 10 a.m.? They're like, I don't know, touring you. You know, touring you. I was like, yes, that sounds like a great idea. Thanks.
Glad you thought of it.
While you're there, I can't remember if they're the ones or not, but see if they have one of my Bonneville watches, because I know one of the museums bought one of each of my watches to put on display, and there would be the Shelby Series 1 and the series that we did just for the Carroll Shelby cars. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
See if those are there. If so, get a photo if they'll let you take one. I would love to have a photo of that. That'd be cool.
Not the Ken Miles Le Mans winner, GG40. You just want the watch.
My watches, okay.
Okay, no, I got you.
Wants the watch with the car in the background. Yeah.
I don't own that car, but I own a watch just like it. So
yeah, okay. Be sure. Oh, I'll be like, enough of the cars. Where are the watches?
Now, where are the watches at? And if they don't,
I'm on a watch mission.
Oh my God, you should have one of these in your collection. You know, and then just have.
Yeah, I know a guy.
Guys, thank you.
Right, well, have fun.
Have fun. Be safe out overlanding, Aaron.
Will do. Black Rock Desert, out in the middle of nowhere, bringing our own water.
Cool. See you
and
guys.
And toilet paper. And a shovel.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.